103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
So this is part two.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
No, it's fine. You're here already. It wasn't a question of you having to leave and come back in. That would be weird.
Yeah, we're in South William Street, is it?
We are. We're on South William Street, top floor of a building.
Okay.
Sitting here overlooking quite a beautiful view of level 6A of the Brown Thomas car park. That's what I can see anyway.
Well, we're actually just literally a stone's throw. I mean, you could actually throw a stone and we would be in Paris Court Townhouse Centre, which is where The Sod Show aired live from June Bank Holiday weekend last year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
from that bit on the steps with all the plants?
No, do you know the when you walk into the middle, so Coffee Culture is up the very, very, very top. That's Ronan's place. And directly opposite, you can see they've got this like a little bit of a podium and they do bands on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were there. Oh, that little jetty sticking out.
Okay.
Yeah, it was mad.
All right, so that we might come to that live podcast now in a bit. So,
sure.
So we discussed already about setting up Donegan Corp, the gardening evil empire.
Yeah.
taking care of people's weeds and bushes as they desire.
Let's call it that for the minute.
Let's call it that for the minute. And of course, being in business, I think part of being in business these days is being online and having a little bit of a presence.
Yeah.
Because that's how, I mean, I don't know about you, but when you want something or when you're thinking about buying something or finding a service, you know, it's no longer a case that you go, well, I'll look in the yellow pages and see what's in there.
No.
You just whack it into Google and say, that's the most interesting looking one. For example, I was looking for firewood this winter.
Wow.
And I just put in firewood Dublin and took my pick of the three or four top ones. And I looked at the websites and I thought that website looks the nicest. And I like the way they explain their wood.
What, was it kiln-dried logwood? Was it that fancy stuff?
Yeah, it's that kind of stuff. It comes in big, huge bags and they wheel them in. And it's good because I've got a little, you know, fire stove in the sitting room. It's very clean. It's very warm.
Wow.
So it's good. But what I mean is, I looked online for that kind of stuff. So you've had to, I'm sure you've talked about your website. So what then inspired you to set up a podcast?
I was always into radio and music, and I know I heard some of your guests from the 7:38 AM say that they so myself and a mate of mine, Dunica, used to put tape decks to tape decks, and we had a cassette of sound effects and we'd write scripts, and I was actually saying this to Joe Rooney. That's
right.
Who it was. And we put tape deck to tape deck and we'd write these scripts of about, and there was, you know, fireworks went off and then we'd scroll forward. Okay, we have played the fireworks thing. And my uncle had been to Hong Kong way back when, and we had a suitcase that when you flick the latches on, the top part was a speaker and it had a vinyl player. So we would have been rare, like, you know, 7 years, 6 years of age.
Wow. Can you imagine how much that would sell for now in this, like, hipster vinyl culture we live in? You know, you could get
huge
thousands for that.
But it had a tape deck on it, and we had a Walkman, and I had taken car speakers and made quadraphonic sound and soldered it. So at the end of the bunk beds, there was a Walkman connected to four speakers.
Right.
And if somebody was listening to the vinyl player on headphones. And but we used to wake up every morning. There was Hendrix, Joplin, you name it. It was Led Zepp, Kinks, Who, Monkeys, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning playing as the Porridge was going on.
Right.
So I was always mad into...
So are you the eldest?
No, I'm kind of the middle. There's
right.
four above me, three below.
Okay.
But there was two other lads in the room at the time with
right.
me. And, you know, that whole thing of the music radio thing. But it was different going back to the 252 days.
Mm.
You know, listen to I heard that on Rick's one, actually. Very interesting. But it was all of that kind of stuff and trying to tune in 5 Live on the AM and never entirely getting it right. We used to do that because we had a black and white television, so to watch Arsenal in the FA Cup, let's say, playing.
Yeah.
The time that Michael Thomas scored, that goal against
1989, yeah.
Boom. We were watching that in black and white, and I remember trying to tune that in on the wireless as well, because the commentary on the dodgy aerial with the co-hanger was
yeah,
as bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, to fast track, Always an interest in radio, as I said to Joe, always an interest in comedy, but I was never funny enough to be that kind of funny. I don't have an odd shaped anything and much. Sorry, that's paying myself too big a compliment. But I think, to be fair, in horticultural terms, in Ireland, there isn't any real one television show and hasn't been for some time. There was no garden radio show. There was no anything. And
So you spotted a niche.
Well, I ended up, Mark Rock had set up Audio Boo, which became Audio Boom. Mm-hmm. Bernie Goldbach, who's Top Gold on Twitter, was lecturing in multimedia. And Bernie said to me, I said to Bernie to give him some garden advice, I can't type this answer for you. It needs to be an element of this and this. And if you've got this, it's this. And it was just too much typing, and it was better in audio. And you can play it back. And Bernie said, you've got to try this new product, Audio Boom, this new podcasting app. And I tried it. And about 3-4 months later, I was on stage with Mark Rock and Bernie Goldbach talking about podcasting at the .conf. And that was that. And this podcast that I used to record into the tail end of my iPhone started as 5 minutes, became 10, became 20 as my free account grew.
Right.
And then it got taken to be put on radio, and Brian Green teamed up with me, which he, to be fair, he was the one that made it, you might say, radio quality, or quality that you would be used to.
Sure, sure. And of course, he's got a big background in radio and all. How did you meet Brian, or just online? Or?
Brian and me spoke about this, and he said that I'm gonna make myself out to be like a Don Johnson here or something, you know, in a white suit and a Ferrari. But Brian kind of said to me that he heard what I was doing, because like Twitter was young. Mm. And new, but then there's also a case where Ireland is Ireland, and it still means I know you who knows him and knows him.
Sure.
Anyway, it's just we're talking on Twitter now.
Mm.
And Brian had heard some of that, and he said, I'll do you a radio jingle when the Sodcast first started. And then he did that. And then I announced that I was going into Dublin City FM for a meeting, and I was going to talk for 28 minutes solid. That's what I thought you did.
Yeah.
I'd only ever been a guest on somebody else's radio show, but never done it under my own name, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
Brian said, I'd quote what I have on sodshow.com, which is, somehow or another, Brian Green ended up going to that meeting. That was it.
Right.
He came in with an intro jingle, an outro jingle, a song of the week, so that we could have a yap and go, how's that going, how's things, while it was still running on air. And
yeah.
And that's that, and the Sodshow became that.
Right.
There you go.
There's the evolution. Starting from a mere iPhone.
Back
now,
garden. Yeah. Talking nonsense for 5 minutes solid. Bits of garden advice for people, and it just evolved into.
So what was the first microphone you bought? What was the first gear you bought to sort of.
Wow.
Bring your podcast to another level.
Oh, God. Do you want to... Seriously, this is a mad answer. I bought my first real, not secondhand microphone about 6 months ago. The Sideshow's 5 years gone. So all of the equipment... I think a Bernie Goldbach loaned me a Rode microphone, and I had...
That's great.
And a Beyer Dynamic then after. He apologized for taking the Rode back off me and gave me a Beyer Dynamic, which is even better. It had an on-off switch, so you could, you know, use one battery.
Yeah.
And... I had a Sony ICD MX20, which is basically a glorified dictaphone, and that was it. But I had to convert the audio, and I bought a Zoom H1, which is about the same size, about 2 years ago. That was the first piece of equipment. Taught myself how to use, I think it was SoundForge, and then taught myself how to use Audacity.
Right.
So it all just evolved out of necessity. And again, I'll make no bones about this. A lot of people just wanted to see an Irish garden podcast /radio show get off the ground. So
yeah.
Our logo was designed for free by Luke Donegan, no relation. The name was picked online via Twitter.
Okay. So what were your other alternatives, like the Grasscast?
Yeah, it was all of that kind of stuff. I think there's a list of it there somewhere.
You could have had like a hip-hop gardening combo podcast called Beat Around the Bush. How about that?
We could, there was a ton of them, and I don't know why Sodcast it actually got the most votes. I think it got 3 votes. as versus just one. So, but again, Twitter and the online thing was a very new thing in 2008 when I was kind of starting to do all of this stuff, and that was that. So yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
And so, what is? I mean, you know, this is going back to what I was saying at the start. Cause it's a bit weird because it's gardening's not my thing, right?
Sure,
I have a garden.
Yeah,
I quite like sitting out in it and stuff, but gardening itself, not really my thing.
No, it's yeah.
So what's your is your show aimed at people who are really interested in gardening, or people who want to find out stuff about gardening, or you know, could I, let's say, tweet at you one day and say, hey, Peter, I've got this issue with huge, gigantic snails. They're all over my rhododendrons. If I had rhododendrons, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, can you tell me how to cure that via the medium of your podcast? Or is it a bit more...
It kind of started out at that in the very, very, very early days. And then you realize quite quickly, well, hold on a second. I'm just answering individual gardening questions, which I can do now on Twitter. And you don't have to listen to a 5-minute podcast.
Sure.
The days of leaving comments on blogs and stuff has kind of evolved and moved on ever so slightly, I say, in some cases. But to be fair, BBC Gardeners Question Time kind of does that week in, week out on a mass level, and it's a huge audience, and it's an entirely different genre. And equally then, I think there's the Guardian Gardening podcast, which does it at an entirely different level again. And we, I think, by necessity, evolved from being a little bit of that and a little bit of a story and a little bit of something else all stuffed into 28 minutes when the radio show kicked off and became a little bit more professional to, well, why don't we just interview, you know, James Wong or Andrew Wilson or Mary, who runs that school garden out of the goodness of her health for no apparent reason, who has no qualification in horticulture, who lives in an apartment, who doesn't even know how she ended up there. And you get to tell these wonderful, wonderful stories. And essentially, it's kind of like a gardener's variation of the 7:38 a.m. podcast that you do.
Sure.
It's a little bit about the person, but equally, it's also a little...
About what it is that they do in the garden.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of nice. And I kind of like the fact that I get to ask those questions and say, well, you know, I think my opening line is usually something along the lines of, I say usually, sometimes it's not. You know, I used to grow plants on my bed when I was 5. You woke up one day and I said this to the guy who's Tim Entwistle, who's the head of the Botanic Gardens in Melbourne, Australia. And I said, you woke up one day and said, I wanted to become, you know, the head of the Botanic Gardens in Australia. And he
sure.
went, yeah, no, it wasn't ever that. It was this. It was, you know, you're kind of going, holy mother of God, that's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that the way I think with most people is that, like, you know, you see a lot of people end up in positions where you go, well, look, they must have been hugely driven to get to where they are, to be in this amazing position, to do this amazing job. And then half the time, maybe more than that, you find out, well, it just kind of happened by accident. Not so much by design, but the like life took them in that direction and timing opened up a door for them.
Yeah, but like in my own case, if you want to flip doors around, I mean, I could have easily have gone to, I say I could have easily, it was never going to happen in the first place, but you know, that Dire Straits Romeo and Juliet song is playing in my head, ended up in Germany. And at the second part of it, I think my head was always afraid. A bit like playing music for a living, and I often wonder, like with the Codaline lads, let's say, that they're having to play High Hopes 72,000 times, which is a fictitious number, but in 1 year anyway, and surely by the time you get to the end of that song, you absolutely hate playing it, and then the new album comes out kind of thing, and people's media might say to you, no offense to Codaline if you're listening, but you know, media might say to you, you know, do you ever get sick and tired of playing that song? And the answer will of course be no. We love playing it and people cheer us on. But I think my fear was that I would take something that I love, which was growing plants, and that intrigue and that wanting, that mysteriousness of constantly having to ask why in an ever-evolving hobby, and turning it into something that I utterly hated because I'd now dissected. Like, it's a bit like asking somebody to explain what being in love is, and all of a sudden you figure out what's in the centre of the apple and you go, this is, why did I even want to go here? It doesn't make sense.
No.
I now understand what it is.
Sure, but I mean, isn't part of being into something, exploring it to its fullest extent as well? Is that, okay, you've got your own perception, you've got your own angle on things, gardening, if you like, but surely speaking to all these people from 5 years ago on your podcast, from all the various places that you've spoken to them and all the gardens they look after and all the jobs that they do, surely that has shown you that the possibilities are endless. The variation is just beyond imagination.
The variation is always that, but it just always baffles me, as in, how did you end up doing what you're doing? It was always that question. And people ask me, and there is a poetry question where they expect my parents to be gardeners, or when I was 25, they expected my dad owned the business. And you know, or your grandfather was an orchid grower in Guatemala, and that's how you fell in love with it. And you're kind of going, no, we had a straight path to the end of the garden. We had a compost heap there, that we had two apple trees that only got pruned when myself and my brother climbed them and broke branches, and that was about the height of it. Some of them cut grass for money, and I went a stage way and beyond the point of that, and ended up spending far too much pocket money on compost. And I guess the other side of it then is figuring out how to turn it into a bit of a business.
Sure.
And keep that passion afloat. But back to the podcast, it's the David, is it David Byrne? How did I get here?
Talking Heads. Yeah.
Yeah, Talking Heads. There's an element maybe of that. How did Brian end up going to that meeting? And this isn't to sound in any way, overly poetic, but how did Brian Green end up going to that meeting? How did I get to know Brian Green? How did I end up on Twitter? The list of questions.
It's fate.
It's meant to be.
You mentioned Romeo and Juliet before, and clearly that's you and Brian. You're the,
Yeah, that's probably pushing it a slight.
Well, it ends badly for Romeo and Juliet. So hopefully you're not quite the same.
No.
Your families are okay with each other. There's none of that.
I cut Brian's hedge.
Oh, well then. You're not allowed in and cut somebody's hedge unless the families are okay.
It's entirely based on hedge cutting.
Yeah. Look, that's a good basis on which to base any relationship, I think, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, just for me.
So, when you talk to people for the podcast, and I know you mentioned something to me the other day about speaking to like a groundsman at a football club, what an amazing job that is, to be, in that sphere, working with plants and nature and grass, but this is your job, is to make a beautiful carpet of a football pitch. Have you spoken to people from golf courses and things like that?
We're aiming, I think, yeah, we're kind of getting to that point. I think there's maybe a little bit of nervosa about maybe Irish people kind of coming on and some, in some cases, holding a microphone. There's also a little bit of geography and the fact that I work for a living, but we're trying to get, and we have had some of them. I think probably
a lot of golf courses in Ireland that you could speak to the ground.
We're on it. We have the guys at golf, the Greenkeeping Ireland are on the case for me. We're looking into that. I remember hearing the story about the Arsenal groundsman being poached by Real Madrid.
Sure.
And I just thought, holy mother of God, what a compliment. And if I'm open to correction, he was Irish, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
If I remember,
he could be. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not with Arsenal anymore. But I remember hearing that and going, wow. And I interviewed the guy who runs the pitch and putt club in Ballybohol, my own hometown, which is smaller than Emmerdale Farm, and less stuff in it. No offense, lads. And at the back of the golf course, pitch and putt club, there's an L shape wraps around the whole thing, and there's cows, chewing grass behind it. And I remember asking the lads, like, why do you do this? This is part-time. I mean, there are guys that, there's Croke Park and there's Lansdowne or Aviva Stadium and all that stuff in Highbury that look, immaculate, or Leicester City's pitch, to be fair to them, looked absolutely stunning when I saw it on the FA Cup there a while ago. But it's just, how do you get it to that level? Pristine, year in, year out, immaculate, and you literally have to get down on your hands and knees.
That's the thing, because I've got a little strip of lawn at the back. I mean, we took most of our lawn up because it had been churned up by a German shepherd running across it all the time. So we have a little strip, and like brand new grass was put down, and within 2 months there were weird things growing in it, and
dogs
now
it's
that. Now it's not just the dog, it's whatever happens to lawns, that they get weeds, and that you're going, well, I don't know, I'll just mow the lawn and maybe that'll do it. And then you're spreading the stuff around, and
Yeah.
It's a tough gig, this gardening.
It's a very tough gig.
working outside for a living in the freezing cold.
Yeah, but see, horticulture to me is like you know, saying I'm a poet. I think you'll always have, whether you like it or not, you'll be a bit broke because weather will dictate that to you. Mm. The economy, because in a sense you're reliant upon, you know, excess cash to you know, people to give that to you to make them smile. And I think somewhere in between, you know, whether you're a groundsman and there's somebody controlling the budget and saying no, and you're kind of saying, well, horticulturally I need to do this, or, you know, X is going to happen, there's a kind of a consistent quandary across the way. Mm. And essentially nature will throw something at you that makes you want to do that. And so the guys I know in the business can turn around and say to me, we're flying, we're busy, and I'm going, you've had record floods, you've had football pitches turned into ponds, lakes, mm. rivers, streams. It's happened, and it's happened in Ireland this year, not for the first time. So let me go back and ask you the question. Why did you want to study horticulture when you were born in Ireland and you knew that things were slightly pants and you were never going to be, you know, rich beyond your wildest dreams, where, let's say, the dot-com boys might have had that to an extent, or the property guys might have had that. Horticulture has never really been seen as that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dubious as to whether it will ever.
Gardens are like a bonus almost for people. You know, a lot of people just won't bother at all, and those that do will only use what money they have for it.
Yeah. Look, at the same token, you have people who go out and spend 40 grand on a car, and I scratch my head and go, like,
very, very true, isn't it?
I tell them I bought a tree for like 450 quid, and they're going, why? You know, you could have had 3 bottles of Middleton Very Rare for that. You know, that's
a tree lasts forever. The Middleton Rare is gone by the end of the week.
You could have gone to Malta and bought me a stick of rock and a t-shirt, yeah. But you spent it on a tree.
Do they do sticks of rock in Malta?
I don't know.
I suspect that's more like Blackpool and those places.
Do you remember that? My granny and granddad went to Malta and all they got me was this lousy t-shirt. That was at a time in Ireland when you could only go to Malta or somewhere.
I know that trope. If not necessarily associated with Malta, my friend went somewhere and all they got me was this lousy t-shirt.
Oh, they were just t-shirts everywhere. Every country has.
Yeah, every country.
I never knew that.
You see, it's not specific to Malta.
No, it was. Well, they didn't do those range of t-shirts in Galway, so no. Spittle. Yeah, the other place we could have gone on holidays.
Yeah. So look,
sorry.
As we approach the end of this conversation,
yeah.
What about new mediums? What about the Sod Show TV channel, Sod TV. What about getting on there? What about, you know, gardening watsits and workshops, and this is how you do this, and this is how you kill giant slugs that are going to get your rhododendrons?
I think we've, on a serious note, I think, and it was being discussed quite recently on the Twitter sphere, which is quite a good place for very quick answers, and when you have no gardening television programme in Ireland, really, and you don't have, we're the only full-time garden radio show, like there are slots within shows that come in the summertime kind of thing,
yeah,
but there's nothing else at this moment in time out there. We're only 5 years old. To put in context, I think the BBC Gardeners Question Time is on the go since about 1940 something. They have a Wikipedia page, Andrew. They have a Wikipedia page.
That is the true measure of
it. Is to an extent
it is, but also something that's just occurred to me. Isn't a gardening podcast something that you can just listen to while you're gardening? That you can't watch a gardening video while you're gardening because you got to pay attention.
Yeah, I think the garden videos are grand for, you know, this is how you dismantle a, you know, tractor or ride on lawnmower or something. But I think other than that, I wouldn't sit down and watch. I don't think I'd have the time to sit down and listen to 30 minutes of or watch 30 minutes of. But I would listen to yours while I'm chopping wood or while I'm cutting grass garden because I find it quite relaxing. It chills me out, you know. Yeah. So there's maybe an element to that. If I'm honest, maybe the Sod Show is a bit young to be evolving to the next level.
A mere podling.
We're only five years old. That's
lengthy enough for a podcast, because so many start and so many come and go that 5 years of producing regular content is not easy. And people should appreciate that, because it is a time commitment every week. It's not simply an hour, or how long is the show?
We're 28 minutes in total, I think.
28 minutes.
Yeah.
So it takes longer than 28 minutes.
Of course,
yeah. All things put together and putting things.
No. Without question, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And I think we probably get a lot of free hugs from the nice people that, you know, surround us, which is beautiful to have. And that kind of makes it all worthwhile. I think there's probably a point, if I'm quite honest, and you'd understand this, that it's possibly going to hit a point where you have to turn around and go, listen, we need hard-earned cash to kind of keep this kind of thing going. And when or if, and hopefully it never gets to that point, but when or if it should get to that, I think then we've probably got a question to raise. But for the minute, you know, we're happy-go-lucky and
it's a labour of love, so to speak.
Well,
ish.
What can I say?
What can you say? Well, look, congratulations on 5 years.
Thank you, Andrew. Much appreciated.
Was this okay for you?
Yeah, this was great.
Oh, it's not too weird.
You're usually combined with lawnmower sounds or some other hen clucking in the background.
All right.
Yeah, my earbuds, but it's good to see you face to face.
All right.
Pleasure.
Here's to 5 more years, Peter. Well done.
Fingers crossed. Cheers, man.